God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Sahar Haqdu. Well, before we begin, we'd like to offer our condolences on the death anniversary of martyrdom of the daughter of Imam Ali, the sister that is of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Zainab, peace be upon them all. Well, today we'd like to discuss something that I'm sure most of us have experienced in our lives. At some point, our problems tend to burden us and make us feel like we've hit a dead end, like we don't know where to go from there, and at that point, that is when we should go and seek some counseling. Today we'll discuss what exactly counseling is and go into depth to discuss all the aspects of it. So stay with us. Of course, we have other segments to our program. We have From Here and There and much more. Stay tuned. The program. Well, it's great to have Dr. Ghambari Mohsen Ghambari back with us. He's in our Qom studios joining us to help us discuss counseling. Dr. Ghambari, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sure.
Okay, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program. It's great to have you back.
Thank you very much. I thank you for inviting me to be in this program. And at the beginning of this program, I like to express my deepest condolences for the sake of the demise of Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, and I hope to be her followers and her Shiite Muslims.
Great. Let's get right into our discussion. And firstly, we'd like to know, Dr. Ghambari, from the Islamic perspective, how important is counseling?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we refer to the Islamic resources such as the Holy Quran and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the other Imams, we find there is a great emphasis on counseling or consultation with the other people. In the Holy Quran, we can find different places that Allah advises His Prophet to take consultation from the people in different issues that are materialistic, that are related to everyday activities, and other Muslims, based on rational traditions or the traditions of the intellectuals or people, can solve the problem, can offer their opinions to reach best result of that. For example, in the Holy Quran, Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, O Prophet, you have to do consultation to counsel people in different issues. Or when Allah talks about the status of consultation or counseling among the people, Allah says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. People, when they want to do their own affairs, the issues related to their life or everyday activities, they engage in consultation, counseling one another in solving the problems that they may suffer from, some problems and difficulties there in their own life. And in the experience of the Prophet as well as the other Imams, infallible Imams, we see that this counseling experience in the best form, in the perfect embodiment by these Prophet and Imams, and also occasionally when we talk about Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, we see that Lady Zainab played the best role of counselor for Imam al-Hussein Alayhi Salam in the Battle of Karbala and the other captives after the battle in Kufa and Sham. He gave good consultation to Imam Sajjad Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and she managed the best situation that she can do and, you know, manage the crisis that took place at that time.
So basically, to sum up, Islam has a very positive perspective on counseling, because I think for a lot of people, they view it as a weakness for someone who needs counseling. But I think it's definitely, as you put it so nicely, Hazrat Zainab, peace be upon her, and so on, we've seen in our prophets, they've definitely told us that counseling can be necessary and can be very, very positive and good. So I guess next we'd like to know, because, you know, since we do need counseling, what are some qualifications or characteristics of a good counselor so that we don't go and seek help in the wrong place?
Yeah, that's very important. So when we are in need of some counseling, to whom should we refer? So this is one of the most important issues or departure point in the process of giving guidance or receiving guidance from somebody. I think for the person who is going to play the role of counselor, we have to focus on some points. First, that person should be qualified by knowledge of that counseling. You know, there are some people who are expert in some special field of studies, not the others. So first, we have to determine what problem that we're suffering from. After the defining and determining the nature of the problem, we have to find the proper person or the proper counselor for that special problem that we have. Okay, if we have problem in our marital, you know, relationship, so we have to find out who is the expert of that. If we have some problem with our children, we don't know how could we train or discipline our children in our daily development and family, so we have to refer to the expert of children, the person who is experiencing such an experience in training children. If we do have some problems in religious activities with our parents, with our children, with the other members of the family, we have to find the person who is expert in religion. So the knowledge of the counselor in this special field that we are suffering from, that field, that problem, is the most important thing. At the beginning, we have to acquire the knowledge of that person and the expertise or the skills that that counselor need. After that, the experience, I think, is important. We may find some people who are very knowledgeable, who are educated from the university in different disciplines of the universities, but they don't have enough experience of that. Knowledge is important, but it can be perfected and completed when that counselor uses that knowledge and experience. For example, we find some people who are expert, but unfortunately, when we refer to their personal and daily life, we see that they themselves, I mean the counselors themselves, are suffering from the same disease, the same problem that we have. Then the person who is not able to solve the problem that he is suffering from, how could solve my problem? So this is something very understandable at the very first sight. After that, we have to refer to the people who refer to that counselor and ask their point of view toward that counselor, whether they are satisfied with that counselor or not, whether that counselor was successful in that process of counseling for these people who have some problem or not. If we find that people, alhamdulillah, are satisfied with that person, then with very perfect confidence, we can refer to that, to these people. After knowledge and experience, we have to find out whether this counselor is honest to solve the problem that we have or not. Some people have good knowledge, good experience, but when we go to that counselor, we find that this person is not going to solve our problem honestly. He is going to, I don't know, to do business, to do something that's not related to the core of the issue. He is going to engage in marginals, not in the core of the issue, so you have to forget about that counselor. And the other characteristics is very important for me in the counselor should be guaranteed is confidence, or is the reliance and trust that we can give to that counselor. You go to the person, want to talk to him about your problems. First, you have to trust on that person. Is that reliable person? You want to talk about your secrets. You want to talk about your privacy. Is that confident? Is that reliable? Is that the person we can trust in? If it is not, then I advise you strongly, forget about that person and find the person who is reliable enough. So these are the main characteristics that I can emphasize on.
Mm-hmm, very good. I think there's also another form of counseling that, it's just a bit of help that we do in Islamic perspective is istikhara, when we go for counseling in the Quran, yeah. Which I think might be interesting for a lot of people, is when you basically there's a dilemma and you can't decide one way or another, so that's when you go for counseling directly to the Quran, which I think is also something that we need to...
But I think that would be as a last resort, I mean, going to the Holy Quran. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Allah has given us intelligence, and intelligence is considered, according to the riwayat and traditions, as the internal prophet of human beings. If the person listens carefully to the voice of the reason and intelligence that Allah has given us as a inner prophet, then we can solve our problem easily. And after that, according to that reason, we have to find consultation with the other people who have also the intelligence. And as a last resort, if we couldn't solve the problem with consultation through the counseling other people, yes, of course, we can refer to the Holy Quran and find out the opinion of the Holy Quran in the most important issues that we face in our daily life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think the key there is last resort, when you've taken all avenues and you have no idea, you've hit a dead end and you don't know which way, one way or another, at that point, that's when you go to the Quran. Okay, well, we have much more to say about counseling. We'll go and we'll for a break. When we come back, we'll decide when we need counseling.
Once upon a time, there was a rustic man who was very good at horse riding and liked hunting very much. Every day and night, he thought about finding an opportunity to ride his horse and go hunting. He also had a hunting dog, which was very good at running and jumping quickly. Whenever the guy sent his dog to fetch the prey, it didn't come back until it caught the prey. For the same reason, the guy never returned from hunting empty-handed, and he was very satisfied with his dog. Some day, they went hunting, and the guy wounded a gazelle with an arrow. He sent the dog to fetch the gazelle, but the gazelle ran away. That day, he couldn't hunt anything else and returned home tired and empty-handed. The hunter guy also had a large, beautiful cat at home. He had seen it catch mice many times. He liked the cat's agility very much. He had seen many times that the cat pretended to be asleep, and when a mouse approached, it jumped towards the mouse quickly and caught it with its paws. Then it let the mouse go quickly. As soon as the mouse started to run away, the cat caught it again. That day, the hunter returned from the forest tired and empty-handed. He was sitting in the room and the cat was playing beside him. Suddenly, a sparrow entered the room and hid itself on the wall. It was trying to get out of the room through the window when the cat jumped and caught it in the air. The hunter, who was happy with the agility of the cat, thought, "This cat hunts better than any hunting dog. No dog can possibly catch a sparrow in the air so quickly." The next day, he got ready to go hunting. He picked up the cat and got on the horse. When the hunting dog saw the cat in the guy's arms, it asked the man, "Where are you taking the cat?" The hunter answered, "The cat is very agile. I want to teach it how to hunt. Then I want it to catch birds in the meadow." The dog laughed and said, "I've never heard that a cat can be taken to go hunting. Every person and animal is born to do a specific thing. A cat must catch mice at home, and a dog must go hunting. Cats are not good at hunting at all." The hunter answered, "You don't know. I saw a strange deed from this cat yesterday." The dog answered, "Okay, I won't say anything else, but each person or animal has a specific ability. Hunting is the job of dogs." The hunter said, "That's enough. You didn't catch the gazelle yesterday. This cat caught a flying sparrow, but you couldn't catch a wounded gazelle." When the dog heard this, it thought, "I made a mistake yesterday and this cat performed a feat, so it is useless for me to say anything." The hunter held the cat in his arms. The dog also accompanied them to the meadow. They went to a mountainside where some partridges were browsing. As soon as the hunter approached them, the partridges disappeared one after another. One of them, which was very weak, unable to run away, hid under a bush. The dog was walking along the horse. The hunter thought that it was the best opportunity for the cat to show its ability. He left the cat on the ground near the bush. But as soon as the cat reached the ground and saw the dog, it panicked and wanted to jump into the man's arms again. To escape the dog, the cat jumped on the horse. Its paws scratched the horse. The horse, which felt pain, stood on its two rear legs. As a result, the hunter fell down and broke his arms and legs. The cat panicked more than before. It ran away and climbed a tree a bit farther. When the dog saw this, it ran and caught the partridge. The dog gave it to the hunter and said, "That's enough for today. Let's come back home." The hunter asked, "Where's the cat? It will get lost in the meadow." The dog said, "No, it won't. Cats are not hunters, but they can find their way back home. After half an hour, the cat will forget its fear and will come back home to eat and sleep."
Joined by Dr. Rambar in our home studios discussing counseling. And before the break, we talked about some of the characteristics of a good counselor and how important it is that we do seek counseling. But I think the question here, Dr. Rambar, would be for a lot of us when distress and calamity strikes and we have reached that dead end where we don't know what else to do, how do we know when to seek counseling? What are some indications that we have to look for in our lives?
I think we have to repair what is normally said about counseling and the time of counseling. People normally know that whenever they face a problem, calamity and disease, difficulty in their life, at that moment they have to go to a counselor and receive counseling from that person. But I think the best way or the correct way is to take counseling in consideration before reaching the time of difficulty, the time of disease. I mean, all the time we are in need of counseling within the family, with our children, with our parents, with our spouses. So whatever related to the social life, to the family life, to the life of the others, we have to take us down with the opinions that they have. let us experience a very democratic atmosphere, space in our family, without engaging in dictatorship, without saying, okay, I'm a father of this family, so the other members should follow me in my opinion and do not, you know, stop against me or before me. So all of you should play the role of whole will, not just being active in this regard. No, let them play a role of decision makers in our family life. Let all voices, all says, all opinions listened, you know, in the family. We have to listen to the all voices in the family. Sometimes our children have good opinion. Sometimes the spouse and the parents or the other members of the family have good opinions. So let us listen to them. Let us, you know, pave the way for raising their own opinions in certain issues that is related to the all members of the family. If we experience such a thing before making ourselves or putting ourselves into trouble, I think we prevent lots of problems that we will face in the future if we experience that now. I mean counseling. Mm-hmm. We can solve the problem, predict the problems before engaging that by counseling, and pave the way for the counseling experience good day. So I think we have to repair our understanding about counseling. We are not the whole part of the reality and truth. We are not the whole, you know, we don't have perfect intelligence. Then other people can perfect my intelligence, can perfect my understanding. If we refer to the life of Prophet, and we do believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam owned perfect intelligence, perfect knowledge of God, but at the same time, he took counseling with the people. He asked the opinions of the other people. Why is this way? He is trying to teach us the way of counseling, the way of taking a stand with the opinion of the others. If it was not so good, why Prophet experienced that? Because of that, he wanted to say, oh, you Muslims, my Ummah, if you want not to become regretful at the end, please take a stand with the opinion of the people through the counseling and taking good consultation. Then, so far, we can understand that we are in need of counseling all the time. And the best time of taking counseling and consultation is before engaging or facing trouble. Before having trouble and problem, we have to shoot that trouble through the counseling. And the best counselor, I think, are the people who are in touch with us, and they are the family members at the beginning of this step, the process of counseling, and they are the children that we have, the parents and the spouses. And if we refer to the tradition of the Holy Quran and divide the children's age into three parts, the first seven part is for playing, the second one is for advising, and the third one, I mean, after 14 till 23, this is the age of taking counseling from our children. We have to rely on our children. We have to increase their confidence by saying, you are big enough, you are great enough, and you can give me some consultation, some counseling. What do you think about certain issues? I think if we experience that, we cannot become regretful at the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think the takeaway would be preventative as opposed to reparative, so that we can prevent those problems. But in case that, you know, we have reached a problem in our lives and we don't know how to solve that problem, I think also, I think you'd agree that we need to educate people more so that counseling is not frowned upon. A lot of people think that if they're going for a therapist or counseling, they think it's something that they need to hide from people and that people might shun. But it's something that we need to basically help people understand that it's a good thing. It's a good thing to seek help from a professional, an expert, somebody who knows better than we do. I think that would really help people.
Yeah, of course, after facing the problem, serious problem, that we ourselves cannot solve the problem, we have to take consultation from the people who are expert. Of course, expert in the field that I'm suffering from, not the other parts, as I said. So we have to find our problem firstly and clarify that, and then find the person who is suitable for solving that problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a break, and when we come back, it's time for From Here to There. So don't go away. It's time for From Here and There with my colleague Farhad Vafoju. He has lots of interesting, informative, intriguing pieces for us. Over to you, Mr. Vafoju. What do you have for us today?
Thank you, Ms. Harju. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this part of the show, From Here and There with me, Farhad Vafoju. Today, I have picked a medical article for those of us who might have a lot of stress at work. And to remember our feeling when we have stress at work. A new study conducted by the Spanish researchers has demonstrated that being under stress at work can significantly increase cardiovascular health risks, a problem that most of us might suffer if we have stress. The researchers suggest this abnormality in blood fat levels is related to dyslipidemia, a disorder that alters the levels of lipids and lipoproteins in the blood. Over 90,000 workers were analyzed during the study concerned how much strain they were under at work. The study also reveals that the workers with work stress were more likely to suffer from high levels of LDL cholesterol, that is the so-called bad cholesterol, and excessively low levels of HDL cholesterol, which is more commonly known as the good cholesterol. Welcome back. Today I am going to introduce to you the book Ethics and Spiritual Growth, written by Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lari. The book draws its material from the rich Islamic sources and represents the ethos of religious teachings. Besides, it presents the views and opinions of Western scholars concerning the problems relating to education and psychology. It also serves as a beneficial moral and social guide. Now, a little information on the writer of the book. Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lari, a great scholar in Islam, was born in 1925 in the city of Lahr, where he completed his primary education and his preliminary Islamic studies. In 1953, he departed for Qom to continue his study of the Islamic sciences, studying under the professors and teachers of the religious institution, including the main authorities in jurisprudence. Well, and now it's time for your emails. Our first email is from Amane Abdullah. She has written, "Dear brothers and sisters, Salam Alaikum." Salam to you, dear Amane. "Thank you for your program. I have a 5-year-old son. Sometimes I feel upset because I don't know how to behave towards my child." Well, that's a common problem most parents have. "I think I have to..." In the rest of her email, she has written, "I have to learn some issues on children's psychology." That's a great way to deal with the problems we have with our children. "As I am a Muslim living in Europe, I prefer to rely only on a Muslim channel like yours." Well, I guarantee you have found the best way to deal with the child. "Would you please invite some experts on this issue?" Just if you check out our videos on our website, you will find that we have already invited many guests internationally acclaimed psychologist dealing with children's problems. But again, I promise we will have the same guests in our future programs. And that's from Amine Abdullah. Well, if you want to get more information on our programs, just go on your internet, just click sahartv.ir. You will have this page. And here on the English section, just click on it, and you will have english.sahartv.ir. Here on the program section, if you click on that, you will have our program, Pure Home. And right on the right corner, we have uploaded our videos. Just choose them and enjoy them. Thanks for watching. Back to Ms. Arju.
Thanks so much, Mr. Fafadu. As always, very interesting. We'll go for a break and we'll be back. Well, Dr. Ghamariam Ghom has joined us to help us better understand counseling. And now what we want to know is, Dr. Ghamari, we talked about counseling, how important it is. How about for people, spouses, when they have some marital problems, how can counseling help them?
Well, about marital problems and marital relationship, we have to be very careful about one point, and that is privacy within the marital relationship. So this privacy is separated from public realm, and we have to protect that privacy not to be released to the others. We cannot break that privacy that should be protected by, especially from Islamic perspective, and to be in a way that people easily understand and penetrate that, you know, special realm that we have. But I think whenever we are facing some problems that are serious problem, first we have to talk to each other, to one another, to solve problem ourselves. If we cannot solve this problem personally with cooperation of two spouses, we have to study and increase our knowledge about that. There are many books that are written in this regard, and the problems of people in many cases are similar to one another and in common. So we have to find some solution from these books or written in this regard in these fields. If we cannot solve this problem through the books that are written in this regard, we have to take counseling that are phone counseling, or there are some counseling centers through the phone, via the phone. That would be better, because we are not seeing the counselor and the counselor is not seeing us. Mm-hmm. And that makes us easy to us to talk about our secrets and private times and private problems. If we cannot solve again the problem through the phone or through the mail or online counseling, that are many, you can find it in the internet or cyberspace, mm-hmm. or in other centers, you can find some people who are reliable enough, who are respecting your privacy and protecting your classified secret issues. Then if you find some person in a physical life, you can go to that center, to that person, and face to face start talking to that person. And again, at that moment, I want to advise the spouses that they have problems. First, do not go to the end of the problem. If your problem is going to be solved, with the very primary steps or with a very general speaking about the points that you have, let the problem stay there and stop there, and not to go forward more, not to go in details. If you receive your answer, of course. If you cannot receive your answers and cannot solve the problem, you can go to the details by being sure that this counselor has great characteristics and he is reliable enough, you can trust on him, then you can easily talk about your problems and receive that the answers and the solution from that person. And after receiving that, when you return back to your house, without, you know, being so, what I can say, very indirectly practice these, you know, points and steps that you received from that person, the counselor, very indirectly try practicing their things so that be able in that point to solve the problem, not to increase the problem. Unfortunately, sometimes spouses, when they receive some points from the counselor, they want to put it in practice. In that practice and experience, and says, unfortunately, they cannot manage the crisis, but they release the points more and more in a direct way, then they increase the problem rather than reducing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it would probably be important to note that a lot of people might seek counseling within the family, as you said, a dear one, a family member. And in that case, I think then we'd go back to the qualifications of a good counselor. I think sometimes, yes, if someone is sympathizing or empathizing with you, but that can probably be detrimental for your marriage in the future, for because a family member, you're letting them in on your secrets and your privacy, and you're probably overstepping boundaries. And at the same time, that person's image of your spouse might change down the road if you've solved your problems. I think you'd agree, you know, if we go to our mother, father, sister, and so on, that would probably not be the best place to seek counseling.
Yeah, of course, in that places, sometimes we do have some problems. We cannot easily speak about them with our parents or our children. Some of them are classified, let's put it in this way, classified secret informations that it wouldn't be easily accessible for any person. So these classified secret information, you have to talk about them with somebody that is out of the family member. Sometimes we are in need of these people to talk to, and these are the counselors that are reliable enough. And of course, you can find reliable person in reliable centers. This is the issues that we have to be very careful. There are some centers are not expert for that. They don't have legal license for being active in this field. So we have to first clarify the legal or the legitimate centers for counseling. And after that, within that center, we have to search for the people who are the best one for consultation or for counseling. And after that, to talk to these people about your problems that you're suffering from.
Mm-hmm, okay. And to finally, excuse me, end off, we actually had a reference in our email, Amina Abdullah, I believe she referred to how she was having problems, you know, with her child, as most parents do at some stages. So how does counseling help our children, help us guide our children at different stages as they're growing up?
Well, about the children in different ages, we do have different guidelines, and we have to take this in consideration. At the very beginning of the life for children, for example, from age 1 to 2 or to 3, we don't have any, you know, responsibility for counseling our children because they are so young enough and they don't need any consultation. They are experiencing their dependent life. They are dependent completely to the parents, especially to the mother, and they are following what
mother, you know, behave and what mother advises, what mother offers to the children. And after that age, from 3 to 4 to 5, we do have the age that in that age our children are going to experience independent life, because they are seeing themselves that they are getting to become bigger and bigger and old enough in their age, and they can decide for themselves, for example, to experience feeding and like eating by themselves and drinking, playing and, you know, destroying something, or just playing with themselves by themselves. So this is some independent life. In that process, in that age, we have to help them to experience their independent life. Do not be so careful about how they can become dangerous or how they can destroy something in the house. No, let them free and pave the way for them to play. Of course, this something that is dangerous, it should be taken away from the excess of that child. Mm-hmm. After that, when they reach the age 7, at that moment, we have to advise them. This is according to Islamic traditions. Mm-hmm. From age 7 to age 14, we have to command them. We have to advise them, recommend them to do something and not to do something, because they can understand the meaning of advice. Mm-hmm. For example, about the religious education or religious disciplining, we have to say, this is the time for having relationship with your Lord, with your God. Then something are recommended by Allah the Almighty, something are obligatory for you. For example, for our daughters, we have to say wearing hijab is something obligatory to you. You have to experience having hijab. For our sons, it is better to say this is the time for having prayer, performing prayer. Prayer is wajib. Step by step, mm-hmm. we have to educate them to become religiously, you know, qualified for that. And after 14, the age of 14, we have to receive counseling from our children. You're my son, you're my daughter, you are big enough now, you are mature, you have to give me some consultation.
Well, Dr. Ghambari, I have to stop you there. Thank you so much. We'll try and definitely take that into consideration, the different stages and the counseling that we have to give our children. Thanks so much for being with us and giving us wonderful advice. And to our viewers, thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget, go online, check out our program, saharatv.ir, and do email us. We invite you to send a couple of words, just give us your suggestions at peerhome@sahartv.ir. Thanks so much for inviting us into your peer home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.